The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Gospel of the Lord. We are here. The hour has come. As Luke tells the events of this evening, Jesus has gathered for the Passover with the disciples, a meal that he says, "I have eagerly desired to eat with you." It's his final teaching moment with those who have been following him throughout his ministry. It's his last shot at giving them a hands-on example of what their call is to be in his absence. John tells that he first washes their feet, but Luke gets right down to what we have come to refer to as the institution of the Last Supper, the meal that is the example we so often follow when we join at the table for communion, the Eucharist. In retelling this story, we are joined into it. It's more than merely hearing the words and listening to the story. We are bringing the story into the present, making the events of that last evening events in our own lives. And in doing that, we are making us active participants in the unfolding action. Jesus sits down to this meal with his closest followers, those whom he has called friends. He sits down to a meal that he says he eagerly desired to eat with them. This is the culmination of his work among the people. He has one last chance to model for them kingdom living. He takes a loaf of bread, gives thanks, then gives it to them and instructs them that this is his body, which is given for them. Do this in remembrance of me. He does the same with the cup of wine. He once again is telling them that he is leaving, he will die, and that he is doing so willingly and knowingly, in the ultimate act of servanthood and the ultimate act of love. He forewarns that one of them will betray him, will turn him over, and they begin to argue amongst themselves. To us, so many years later, it all seems so wrong. We want to stop the action, to yell out, "Don't you see what he is doing here? Don't you know what he is saying?" But they don't. They can't. It's more than they can wrap their minds around. Jesus has modeled for them time and again unwavering servanthood, unfaltering love, and giving up of himself. And he will continue to do so even to the point of death. And they just can't move away from their human agenda long enough to even stop arguing. Even after all of the parables about the kingdom of God being like a pearl of great value, a mustard seed, a vineyard, even after the story of the prodigal son and the forever loving father, even with all the history, the law, and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, even in the midst of the Passover meal, where they remember the events of the Exodus, the greatest salvation story up to that point, even then, all they can do is argue about which one of them is going to be the greatest. Each time I think of this event with the arguing and cockiness of the disciples, my mind goes straight to the scene in the song from Jesus Christ Superstar, where the group sings about always knowing that they would be apostles. They're somewhat drunk, I think, or so it sounds. They say, "Know that I could make it if I tried. I always knew I could write a gospel, and they'd all talk about us when we died." Even now, even in this final night of Jesus' human life, of God's life in human form, the humans around him argue over who will be remembered as the greatest. Jesus, again, tries to tell them about the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God. It is not, he reminds, like the kingdoms of people. He speaks of the kingdom of the Gentiles, the Roman Empire. He says, "Their kings lord it over them, but it will not be so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves." Are they listening yet? Do they hear what he is saying? You must get yourself out of the way. Turn your focus away from yourself. You must be like one who serves, one of no status. Are we listening yet? Do we hear what he is saying? The last thing that Jesus does is hand over to the disciples the keys of the kingdom. He says, "I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You are now in charge." Do you remember the first time you were left in charge? Perhaps your parents went out for the night, or maybe even went out of town for the weekend. Or maybe your boss left on vacation and left you in charge of the office. It's memorable. It's exhilarating being in charge. The world is your oyster. We might feel important when we're in charge.
We might start feeling a little like those disciples, vying for position, weighing our greatness. And we, in doing so, might find that we have fallen deeply into the pit, the mire of the human ego. Along with the freedom we have been given to be in charge of the kingdom, we've also been given a great amount of responsibility. The good news is that unlike the times that our parents left us in charge and said, "Don't you dare have anyone over, no parties," Jesus says, "Bring as many as you can. There's plenty. There's plenty to go around. There's enough room for all. Just remember, the leaders in the kingdom are the servers. The host is the servant of all. You are in charge of the kingdom." Amen.